It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for April 9th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. The big book publishers of the world who have battled ferociously with Amazon over issues like ebook pricing might rather you start shopping with another company, OysterBooks.com. Described as the Netflix of books, this subscription ebook service now has a place where you can actually buy ebooks. Can it compete with Amazon? Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein takes a look.
Three of the largest publishers have hammered out a deal with Amazon for the publishers to fix prices for their ebook titles. Rich Bellis, senior editor, Digital Book World, says that opens the door for others to enter the estimated $3 billion a year industry.
If price is not going to be the kicker, then what is? Oyster's answer to that is great recommendation, a kind of, you know, beautiful mobile-optimized e-reading experience.
And that's where the Oysters of the world have a fighter's chance, because on prices, Amazon can just undercut all the competition. But given Amazon's near stranglehold on ebooks, Mike Schatzkin of The Idea Logical Company doesn't predict any massive shakeup.
Amazon is the heavyweight champion of the world, and you just managed to cut their finger. You know, I mean, yeah.
Schatzkin says even if someone does build a beautiful reading experience, getting Amazon's customers to ditch their Kindles and all their books is a heavy lift. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
Ex Machina, an independent film about artificial intelligence and deadly robots that hits theaters this weekend, is one of the best movies about technology that I've seen in a long time. I don't say that lightly, but it's true. The plot, which I won't ruin for you, will be met with some controversy, and that's a good thing. It involves the famous Turing test, devised by the great computer scientist Alan Turing to determine when a machine's behavioral intelligence makes it indistinguishable from a human. Here's a bit from the movie where an artificially intelligent robot, represented as a woman named Ava, asks the assumed protagonist of the movie about what happens if she doesn't pass.
Do you think I might be switched off because I don't function as well as I'm supposed to?
Ava, I don't know the answer to your question. It's not up to me.
Why is it up to anyone? Do you have people to test you or might switch you off?
No, I don't.
Then why do I?
Tough question coming from a robot, right? The guy who wrote and directed Ex Machina is Alex Garland, who you might know as the writer of zombie movie 28 Days Later. I caught up with him a few weeks back and started by asking him about how Ava, as one of the film's leads, is different from other sci-fi characters.
I mean, part of the thing is that there's a visual aspect, and that led us to a mixture between transparency, so that there's no doubt that she's a machine, and also this mesh that follows the contours of skin that then give a more organic and potentially seductive element to this thing made out of inorganic parts.
Something that happens in the movie is one of the characters is tasked with doing a Turing test on the robot.
A Turing test of sorts. The audience is kind of in the same position as the person that appears to be the protagonist. But there is a test, and it's broadly a test about why we assume what we assume. And why we don't look at some things when maybe we should.
How do you use technology?
To get by.
But you've programmed a Raspberry Pi, you've written a Hello World program. I mean, how has that informed some of the stuff that you've done?
Like when I was 12 or 13 on my home computer programming in BASIC, which was the language that you could function with back then, what it did was it gave you that funny sort of electric sense that this machine is alive, even though you knew it wasn't alive. And it interests me about people, how quick we are to we want to project that into non-thinking objects the whole time. You know, it's quite hard to find a child that does not project consciousness essentially into their teddy bear.
Is the promise of AI that we, you know, at some point will project our consciousness into AI?
It depends who you're talking to and what their agenda is. My interest in AI is to do with it superseding us.
Yeah.
It's a sort of evolutionary way of looking at it. We are limited in our potential.
So you're hoping that someday things that have evolved from things that we've made are actually traveling through space and...
and surviving in conditions we can't survive in,
right.
and representing us. We expect our children will outlive us. That's not a problem. That's what we hope will happen.
Yeah.
And we expect our children will have a better life.
And you're spinning that forward into crazy forms of AI that could... be around 500,000 years from now, 500 million years from now.
I think that if we had strong AIs, they'd be as valid as we are. If you had a machine that said, I don't want you to switch me off, and you had reason to believe it was telling the truth, you then pretty much immediately have to give it all the ethical rights and considerations that we give each other.
Alex Garland wrote and directed Ex Machina. Alex Garland, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
If you're into sci-fi movies and questions about our interactions with technology, we've put the scary and awesome Ex Machina trailer at facebook.com/marketplacetech. And, you know, Apple Watch pre-orders start Friday. I talked with an early reviewer, Nilay Patel, editor-in-chief at the website The Verge, to get his expert opinion. His take? Might want to buy the second generation. If you're curious, though, you should take a listen. That's on our website, marketplacetech.org. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like...
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.